Blog Talk Radio. Hello and happy day to you. This is Michelle Mache, your host and co-pilot of Awakenings. You have tuned in, flown into the converging flow, which is Awakenings is a part of that flow. Awakenings hosts dialogues and interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors, and conscious beings and people of all walks of life that are awakening or are awake and integrating this awakened state into their everyday lives. Awakenings reflects the bridging point between science and spirituality. And Awakenings is a place for guidance to support and guide you through the shifts and changes of these universal awakenings, evolution, ascension, and soul alignment. So welcome all, welcome friends, new friends, welcome listeners, participants in the sacred space of empowerment, also known as the chat room. And also, happy birthday, everyone. Happy birthday, everyone listening all around the globe and via all the podcast stations. Happy birthday, Cosmic Dimensions. Why am I saying this? It is your birthday. It is all of our birthday. Every day that we wake up is not only a new day, but our cells have been regenerated. So we are in a or potentially in a new play of consciousness. We have a new expression that's coming through us, as us. You know, we had David McCready on the program that The Great Simulator book, the author, and, you know, as we talked to him, it's contention, you're not here. You know, we're my contention, too, we're in this holographic universe, if you will. Reflecting out. But his contention, too, is that also when you wake up, there's this new you that's coming through you. Now, we know that also from science, and specifically from the branch of medicine, that our cells are constantly rejuvenating. And by the way, our cells actually have memory in them. Many of you may already know this. So when we're doing clearing work or re-encoding, we're literally, you can change your cellular pattern or your cellular structure, which also will change your life. So when you're changing behavior patterns or beliefs, you know, shifting chronic, you know, emotional patterns, you're changing on a cellular level. So that cell is like a mini computer, if you will. It only can take what you put in it. You know, now mind you, some of it is ancestral. But nonetheless, the new input that you're putting into it has a lot of bearing on what you're going to, you know, experience. So you literally can change your life, and we do change our life. And the tickle is, to me, is that this technology is all inside us. Today on one of my meditation walks this morning, I was just, you know, I get in these really reflective modes, and I invite everyone to do that. I actually suggest it, actually. You know, it's really nice to reflect. Some of you have been following me on Twitter, and I've been following you. You know, it's so funny, I was resistant to that. I know nowadays that what I'm resisting, a lot of times I'm going to end up playing with, okay? But I use it for, you know, just musings. I let people know what's going on the program or you know, our guest today, who is Walter Starkey. We're going to get into that. I'm so excited, so excited. But anyway, on my musing, a lot of times I'll do, you know, a mindful walk. I'll just be very aware and connect back in with my breath and just, you know, I'll do different emotional processes to connect in with all that I see, connecting into that oneness and being in that space. Because we do separate out. I mean, we are here to be individuated consciousness. Sylvia in the chat's laughing at me. Yeah, I've told you, it's your birthday. I played on the intro, Happiness by DJ Petey from moontribe.org. So that's kind of the theme for today. Anyway, so in my musing, I was doing my meditation, and you know, you really can, in these mindful meditations, you really can tap into the subtle energy that we are, that energy and light, and really not only feel your connection, but literally see the subtle energy that connects you to the tree and so on and so forth, and you know all of the life forms that are from Source. We're that individuated aspect of Source, right? So I stop, and I know, and some people are going to laugh at me, I know, and Sylvia's, I'm laughing with you. Yes, I'm laughing with me too. I watch one of these big, you know, trash trucks or dumpster trucks, garbage trucks, whatever they call them now, sanitation trucks. I know they have new PC, politically correct names. But the guy in the truck, you know, the forklift kind of thing comes and picks up the big, you know, trash bin and puts it in, and he doesn't have to get out, you know. And I know these have been around forever. I just never really kind of looked at it, you know. I mean, really looked at it. And what I mean by that is I looked at it in the way that, wow, this is divine consciousness right here. This is technology, mechanical engineering. Came from somewhere that this idea was created in assistance and service to all, you know, not only a job, you know, in creating this vehicle, making this vehicle, training the person to ride this vehicle, then the special license I'm sure you have to drive this vehicle and know what to do with this vehicle, then the service that it's picking up the trash, and of course the big bin, somebody had to come up with that and design that and fit it all together. And I immediately just began to tap into this divine matrix that we all are, this energetic matrix of love, light, and wisdom that is constantly recreating itself on an energetic and a cellular level. We're constantly updating, upshifting ourselves. Now, when I say ourselves, I mean our little ego personality, that the personality self that is like a computer. You have to update the software if you want to do some more spiffy and cool things. So we're all in this updating. We're in this shift, and that's part of what we're going to be talking about today. It's not necessarily a change. It's a shift, and there's really a difference in a shift. It's really individual, collective, national, global. It's deep. It's almost like when you put a shovel in the ground, you know, to make a hole. The first dig is, woof, it's deep. It's deep because you have to get in there to get the dirt up and out, you know. And even that's a creation in itself, because what are you going to plant? And that's what I think many of us need to start asking, is what are we planting? We are co-creators as individuated aspects of the all that is. And I like saying co-creators because in my awareness and my life experience and my understanding of my slice of life, the way that I believe, is that in the space when we are in the total all that is, a creator, when we are the all that is, there is no individuation, there is no ego or personality. So all of us, even as magnanimous as we are, create a little bit from our own preference, which is that ego personality, which gets a bad rap, and I don't know why. I mean, if you really study your, you know, spiritual principles and, you know, Buddhist psychology, Hinduism, the sutras, if you study transpersonal psychology or transpersonal therapy, you will see that the ego or the personality is just our individuated aspect, just like our dogs, you know, our animal beings. People will say, oh, they have such a personality, you know, or little kid, they have a personality. But, of course, we all know someone that has too much personality is a pain in the you-know-what, so... You know, so we want to balance it. We want to balance that ego personality with the expanded awareness or consciousness that's undiluted, I guess is a good way to put it. So in that sense, you know, my mindful meditation today was really all about how we are co-creating this individuated aspect of consciousness as well as the collective unconsciousness, there's no more waiting. We don't need to wait for 2012 or 2045. We're doing it now. We're the shift. We don't need to wait or say the indigos have it or the crystals have it, or, you know, that's kind of my little mission right now. Everyone else has it but us. No, we all have this awareness. We are this individuated aspect of the all that is, of God consciousness. We have that expanded consciousness. Some people, their encoding is happening more quickly, so they're perhaps experiencing and expressing it more quickly, or seemingly, or more overtly. But if we are all one, everyone has this in some aspect of self. Everyone has this, perhaps not necessarily manifesting it or demonstrating it on this level or this dimension or this density. And some are not meant to consciously be in the shift or consciously speaking about it, as I am, or, you know, all of us that are meeting in the chat, our guests, or all that are listening in the various, you know, podcasts. Everyone has the manifestation or demonstration of this differently. One thing that I think that really does help in the shift, though, is knowing that that person on some level is already here, is already in this experience, has already shifted, is already perfect, whole, and complete. So to allow that awareness to come through already begins to abate or stop our idea or, you know, misinformation about being separate. And perhaps that's the bigger part of the shift, is that we move into that oneness, awareness, and consciousness, so that we celebrate our individuality. We express our individuated consciousness. We are tickled by our individual way of expressing and being in the world. And we're also tickled by others, even if it seems that they're perhaps on the wrong path or what they're doing. I really feel in the Aquarian age where we are moving into that, not only transparency but tolerance. And, you know, in the to quote the universal law of allowance, allowing others to do as they will, we butt our nose less and less into other people's business and focus on what we're here to create or co-create. That brings others more into that expanded consciousness or expanded vibration more than us proselytizing. And we have a long history of colonialism and proselytizing, and in the end, that really didn't work. So I think we're all learning a new way. We're all co-creating a new way. And wonderfully, Awakenings is one of the places that we get to connect with people to find out how they're doing it and get to learn and share and hear their story or their insight or their awareness, because we need that insight. We need that inspiration. The focus of February is inspired living. Are you living soulfully, letting the soul lead you? So this inspired living is allowing one to be more spirit-led. In that note, I cannot think of anyone more appropriate to this focus and this emphasis for the month of February. Today, we're very, very blessed. We're blessed, and I'm tickled to have on an amazing being who's really traveled the path, you know, walks the talk, however you want to put it. We have today with us Walter Starkey. And I just want to go a little bit on his background. In a sense, his life, it's just, it reads like fiction, because some people might say, well, how can somebody have done that much or done this varied or divergent activities or careers? But it is possible when you are spirit-led. You get led right where you need to be. In a sense, for Walter Starkey, on his quest for ultimate answers, he's really had this ability to reinvent himself. He's actually donned the role of Broadway producer, successful business entrepreneur, modern mystic, powerful keynote speaker, and author of 7 best-selling books, which I would like to just share with you what the books are. Now, obviously, you can find them on his website. But he is the author of Joel Goldsmith and I, It's All God, The Third Appearance, The Double Thread, The Ultimate Revolution, The Gospel of Relativity, which I really love, that Gospel of Relativity, Homesick for Heaven, and some great videos on YouTube that I really love. Those of you that are tuning in, you can connect also with them. I know some people in the chat like to go to the website, which is walterstarkey.com. And he's a best-selling metaphysical author, spiritual teacher, entrepreneur, and definitely a modern mystic. And we're very blessed to have Walter Starkey with us today. Hello, Walter.
Hello.
I'm enjoying
what you're saying. I'm in total agreement with everything you've said, which also brings me to a couple of things we got to watch out for.
Okay. Well,
you ready?
Yes, I am. We are. Wait, first, Walter, before we die, I am so tickled because I knew of you at Unity Church. I've read some of your books, and I'm just so tickled that you're here to share. And so let's dive in. What do we need in this?
Well, you pointed out something which is very true, that the ground is constantly shifting. Every time we have the tiniest change in consciousness, it's death and resurrection. We've been reborn, and we're not quite the same person we were before. But a lot of times we try to carry the things that this one before lived by, and they're not suitable any longer. And let me give you an example of something that just happened to me recently. Because of my theater background, a friend of mine wanted me to go see this movie, The Wrestler, because the actor has won awards for his performance and so forth. And I went to it. Well, looking back, I know that I was happy before I went to the theater, and I spent 2 hours in a poisonous state of consciousness, one of brutality, pain, anger, frustration. In the end, the guy commits suicide, you know? And I left feeling terrible and hopped on my friend about something unimportant and so forth. And that made me stop and wonder, if you've purified your system with eating good, healthy foods, and then you go have an old, too rich dinner, it backfires on you. So those of us who've been trying to keep our spirits high, we can't do some of those things anymore that are poisonous. And we've got to protect our spirits, so to speak, because we are spiritual beings. We're consciousness, which is spirit, manifesting in form. The form is the result, but the spirit is the cause. And just like you say, you know, if we pollute our spirits, we pollute our bodies, the rest of us.
So, now, Walter, do you feel we get more sensitive then in a way? I mean, because I agree with you. I'm so glad you're mentioning this because I've wondered that. Sometimes I feel I'm so sensitive or open, and like you say, to a movie or something you're taking in, you're saying that really does affect us.
Yes, we're not all the same. There are a lot of people, for instance, many people who like to watch brutality, watch these wrestling matches and kickboxing and things where people are in pain. They watch them. They have that consciousness. Well, when you're no longer of that consciousness, it doesn't work for you. And so we have to say, well, what do we want? And we don't blame the other people because I'm a great believer in evolution. Just as we've physically evolved from the one-cell amoeba up into the complicated human beings, the same thing has taken place in terms of the evolution of consciousness and spirit. It's evolved too. We will always have things at every level, people at every level, and they're the ones that are wanting to go to war and drop bombs and so forth, because that's where they are in their state of evolution. But then the people like yourself and those that you appeal to, they've reached a higher stage in evolution. And I'm not saying one's better than the other because they're both part of the process. And, you know, and one of the most important things to me is that because everybody has different concepts of this thing called God, we can't say, well, believe in God or something. But there's one thing we can all believe in, no matter what our religion is. Do we trust the process? Because if there is a God, it's the divine process that's at work. And we in our own lives live basically by grace. And so that means the more we can, no matter what life throws at us, do we trust the process? Like, for instance, and there's one more thing that I want to add on to that. The reason we must do that is we create the laws that operate in our lives. Nobody else does it. If you say, well, I always, that means you have created that law for yourself. Or I never.
Right.
I've created that law. So if you don't like something in your life, don't look outside to change it. Look inside. Mm-hmm. Change your consciousness. Because, you know, I was thinking of another thing. If you can stand aside as though you're looking at somebody else, and you see the house they live in, the family they have, the job they have, and so forth, that's a portrait of their consciousness. So you can look at your own life and how it is. It's a portrait. And frankly, in the morning, my first thought is gratitude, because I'm so grateful to be, I'm going on 89 and I don't have an ache or a pain. You know, I've got plenty of money in the bank. I have a very happy, wonderful life. And I'm not bragging that for ego. But what I'm saying is, oh, I must have a good consciousness.
Yeah. And Walter, you did it your way. Look at all that you've experienced.
Yeah.
And done, you know.
Yeah, and we learn from everything. Because, you know, I don't think we die when our heart stops beating. We die when we stop learning. And just this last week, I learned a little more about myself, that I can't just go to movies, or if I did go to a movie that's poisonous, get up and walk out. I just can't take 2 hours of that and not be bilious, spiritually bilious, you know? So we've really got to protect ourselves. And
I think, too, to know the what are we choosing, like you say, to put in
put
our
in
system,
our,
I guess, our consciousness.
Yeah, we're aware of what we put in our bodies. Well, why not be just as aware of our spiritual appetite?
Mm-hmm. Well, Walter, that's another book there. That's enough.
But I'll tell you what, you mentioned something else today, which is really on my mind these days. I really, really, really believe that last September, the world moved into the biggest change, the biggest breakthrough it has ever had. And that was when our business institutions fell and every business institution in the world on its own simultaneously went through the same thing in the same way. It announced globalization. Now, in before that time, we could say, well, we're America and we're, you know, we'll share out there, but we have our own sovereignty. But we can't anymore. It's one family of mankind. And I can't say, well, my little toe's infected, but it's way down there. Now it'll affect my whole body. I can't say that the people in Bosnia or someplace, oh, well, that doesn't make any difference. They're way over there. We're all hooked up. And so we have to do, this is why doublethink is so important to me. Because on one hand, I've got Walter here, this finite being. And on the other hand, I have my other me, which is infinite and in contact with everything. And I've got to get those two on the same page, you know, my action. And
Do you think that's part of what we're doing is we're getting both of these parts on the same page?
Right. That's the most important thing, yes. And, you know, this is the most privileged time. And we got to realize this. It's the most creative, the most fascinating, the most energetic, and the most dangerous time that people have ever seen. Because out of our godliness, we have created a technology and poisons and things that can destroy life on this planet. And a lot of people think it's already too late. Well, the point is, in the old days, just recently, Tennyson said, you know, east is east and west is west and never the twain shall meet. Well, baloney. I started to say something a little dirtier than baloney. But because east and east and west is west has to meet. The masculine within a person and the feminine in that person has to meet. and communicate with each other, because we all have both. We're infinite beings now, manifesting in a finite body. And, oh, it's just a fascinating time to be alive.
I feel so, too. It really, and I like what you said, that the danger, the risk, you know, and a lot of people, there's challenge there, but because of the breakdown of structures, we actually have more opportunity or more openings. I'm feeling that anyway.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And we can't just say my nation and let it go at that, or my anything, because we're everywhere, and we can't limit ourselves. And the other thing is this: we have to get rid of the future. We have to bring it into the now. As long as we think something will happen, it will be in the future. You know, people say the Lord's Prayer. They, you know, our Father, which art in heaven, or whatever that is, hallowed be thy name in the future, thy kingdom come in the future, thy will be done in the future. No, it should be thy kingdom has come, thy will is done. You know, we have to bring it into the now. As long as we keep the changes in our life, you know, if you think that your, say, for instance, your supply is low at the bank, and you think, well, gee, I've got to make more money. No, Phil, I have supply. It is manifesting. Bring it into the now, and you'll create it.
Yeah.
You know, we create our own lives from the time we wake up in the morning till we go to bed at night. Just plain old-fashioned imagination. We image. We image, I'm hungry, so we go to the refrigerator. We live by imagination. And this image we create in our consciousness manifest in form. So if we image defeat, lack, or, you know, then, oh dear, I'm going to do something terribly personal. And that is that my lady friend of 28 years, I always wanted a certain kind of sweetness from her, that she wasn't out of shyness or something, didn't do. And then finally when I realized, no, and I released it completely and said, if I want that kind of sweetness in my life, it will come. I mean, it is here from somewhere, maybe somebody else. Ever since then, she's been absolutely adorable. and everything that I always wanted her to be. Because I released her. And so we have to do that with our partners. When we have something we want from them, we've got to stop wanting it from them. Then we'll get it from them.
And you know, Walter, too, I'm wondering, do you think also in that instance, when you said that you maybe you'll get it from her or somewhere else or yourself or someone else will come in, to me when you're saying that also, it seems like there's more of an opening. Maybe we open to more of that even, you know, more of an abundance, that it doesn't have to come from one person.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then, of course, the cosmic joke is it ends up coming from that one person we wanted it from anyway. You
know? No, that's the mystery. If people would only realize that, that's the way it happens.
It's not all coming from just the one.
Yeah.
Now, how important is this? You know, you talk about the globalization. Do you feel it's this... You said the dismantling of the economic structures has got people thinking more that, wow, we really are all connected, or?
Absolutely.
You do?
I think the consciousness is shifting in a big hurry. When you said, you know, we don't have to wait till 2012, I absolutely agree. But this process is at work, and maybe it'll reach some kind of fulfillment then. I don't know. But we can't think in those terms. We have to think of it right now.
You know, so actually what I'm hearing you say, we need to think of the shift as now.
Yeah.
That we're doing it now, or we're in it.
Yeah. We are it, you know. We're not these bodies we see in the mirror. They are, consciousness always manifests in a form. So every time you see a form, you can know what consciousness brought it about. Take the consciousness away and the form disappears. You know, you take the consciousness out of a body and it disintegrates. Mm-hmm. And so we're consciousness manifesting forms. So there's two ways to know a truth. Look at a form and decide what consciousness brought it about, or look at a state of consciousness and realize what form it's going to take. And so therefore, that's why we've got to watch our imagination, because the forms follow what we image. We create them.
Now, I'm wondering, when you're saying this, Walter, do you think that as the consciousness is shifting, let's say that in this expansion, you know, moving more into oneness and what I like to call life enhancement, you know, not something's wrong or right, but life enhancing, will some of these forms that we have now on the planet then be obsolete or extinct?
I think so. Listen, I'm a real positive in the end. And we're still having wars. But I promise you, it's not going to be too long before we'll look back and study how could people have done that to each other, you know? And because the world is getting better all the time. We don't have, except in a few places, children in slave labor anymore. Read Dickens of how life was in London just a couple of hundred years ago. It was awful. And so we've come a long way, and it's going to be better and better and better. And if we think positively that way, we'll bring it into being.
And it might just take some time, but it can happen.
Well, and if you're talking about geological time, it's the snap of a finger. Because, you know, we just started writing and things a few thousand years ago, which is nothing geologically. The world's been here for a billion years. And so it's really happening, blossoming right now.
And I think what you're saying too, Walter, that's so important is that we have to live that it is happening now. Not only know that, but live that by perhaps, you know, being aware of what we're imagining, what we're drawing into form, you know, what are we letting influence us.
Well, and now, you know, listening to programs like this and all, and we seem to go over and say the same thing over and over again. But that's good, because we live 99% out of our unconscious mind. However, the unconscious is conditioned by the conscious mind. So if you keep feeding an idea into it over and over again, it finally starts being active in the unconscious. So therefore, it's good for those who want to go to church, to go to church. For those who want to read books. Oh, and incidentally, let me just say this now. My name is spelled S-T-A-R-C-K-E. So when one wants to look at the website, look for Walter Starkey.
Okay, cool. That's good to know. Because I put it in the chat, but those that are also listening all over, just by phone or computer, yes, if you want to find out more about Walter, walterstarkey.com. Walter, look at this, multi-dimensional. Got the email going, the chat room, the phone.
Well, you know, and the thing is that I gave a little talk to a place called Celebration Circle here, and it was put on YouTube. Out of the blue, I get a call from Germany and asking me if I would come over there in May and speak, do a two-hour seminar and then an hour for a big group, and they'd pay my transportation and a fee. And I said, well, I don't want to travel alone. And they said, well, all right, two tickets and your hotel, and then what's your fee? And I said, oh, 3,000 euro. And they said, well, that's a little heavy because we're not charging people. How about two? And I said, well, that's fine. That's a good two days' work for one day.
There you go.
So in May, I'm going over. And that's all because of YouTube.
Yeah. Well, you have those great – I want to let people know, too. The two that I saw on YouTube was your Humanity and Divinity, that video, and then Made in the Image of God. Both of those are really – those are great.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know there was. That's what's great about these, you know, and then people propagate the links and it just really spreads at viral marketing, you know. And it, to me, there's also a weeding out process, because that, to me, that which is truth always floats to the top. You know that yes. you find that. Now, what
well,
do I
know,
do when I go ahead?
The secret really is when I listened to you talk before we talked, and that stream came out with a beginning, a middle, and an end, consciousness, and that isn't you speaking; that's you listening.
Yeah.
That's the secret, because it's like you're turning a tape recorder on in your head and listening to it rather than you as a person inventing it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by
that? It's true. Oh, yeah. And, you know, and I know the difference. I try, you know, because, you know, so and sometimes you go, what is going to come out? You know, what is really important, not even for everyone else to hear, but also me. That's also what tickles me, Walter. I listen, I go, woo, yeah, I did need to hear that. And that is, you know.
Yeah, but as we started this program, and I want to say again, what works at one level may not work at another level. What worked for you 5 years ago or 3 years ago or two may not work for you today. That's not, it was right for its time. So we have to constantly surrender. You know, to me, forgiveness is one word, release. Well, we don't only release the loved ones we have and those things. We have to release ourselves. Mm. In other words, forgive ourselves of the past so that we can be an open channel and then listen. And it will...
You know, forgiveness always trouble. You know, how do you term forgiveness? You know, you're saying release, but is there a mental process that goes along with that, or how do you set yourself up to forgive?
Well, as long as there's something to forgive, you haven't forgiven. So it really is just letting go of it, just release it. And I'll tell you another thing. Like I said, I went to that movie and I was cantankerous after it, and so I was mean to this friend of mine. And then that dear friend said to me the next day, oh, you weren't yourself right then. And that's what we have to know about people. Sometimes they're taken over by personal sense, and they're not their true being. And that it's just a temporary thing.
Mm-hmm.
We just love is knowing who a person is. Love is knowing you're made in the image of God. That's your true being. That's what love is. And that means it's not believing you're the part you're playing in the drama. You're the actor that's playing the part.
Mm-hmm.
You're not Hamlet. You're Laurence Olivier.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting there, though, because also, Walter, what I'm hearing you say, but to find out that you were, you know, in this mood from this the influence of the vibrational frequency, if you will, of that movie, first of all, I think you had to go within. But how did you know? Okay, I'm acting this way, or this is going on. Because I think that's a real difficult process for people. Sometimes they don't realize what they're doing, or that their behavior is different because something has influenced them. So I guess I'm asking, how would one know?
Well, that's a difficult one. I know for the same technique that you have for you. In other words, I meditate. And if I'm my meditation, I can't get into it. I'll say, uh-oh, what is it? And eventually I'll realize that, you know, what it is. Like I didn't realize until the next day how that movie had affected me and my spirit.
So we have to stop and reflect, I guess.
Meditation. Listen, and meditation is a funny thing. To me, yes, I get quiet and I hear words. To some people, it's a walk in the woods. It's music. And whatever it is, it's changing your vibration, getting your vibration out of the personal sense into peacefulness. I have a friend, like I said, who just when he's upset, he puts music on and just dances around his house. And that's his way of freeing up his spirit. Well, that wouldn't work for me, but
yeah.
So we each know what brings it on for us, you know.
I like too, Walter, that you're saying that it's a little different for everyone, or it can be. And I know for me, you know, I found for me my meditation. Now this is going to sound maybe funny to some people, I don't know, but my deeper meditation has changed, and I mean that connecting deeper to that oneness and not just seeing it, but really feeling it. I used to do a lot of chanting, a lot of sitting meditation, and now I find in my mindful walks, my walking meditation, I'm really transported within, and I don't know why. You know, I don't even know how I started doing more of those kinds of meditations, but they seem to be working for me. I guess as a, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what the big shift and the important shift is, and I think President Obama, the thing that was appealing about him was this thing. There is a priority. The priority, actually, that Jesus gave us. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." In other words, seek ye first the subjective nature of this thing, and then, second, how you objectify it. You know, that's the neighbor, the physical. So, but seek ye first the principle behind it. And I have a feeling that he does that more than past politicians. Past politicians would say, we want peace, drop bombs. Well, that's not the way you get peace. You think, well, what is peace? Peace is feeding the poor, you know, building schools, and so forth. Then you wouldn't have any terrorists. But if you have it reversed, where you take the objective approach before the subjective, it doesn't work. And this is what happens when Israel bombs another country. That's taking the objective approach to achieve something subjective. It doesn't work that way. So we have to start out with the spiritual principle and then figure out how to objectify it, or just the subjective nature, you know. In other words, if you want to bake a cake, first you say, well, how do I do that? Well, I get flour and eggs and milk and so forth and so on, and then you set about objectifying it. But first you look at the things that you want to do subjectively and set the goal, and then you can figure out how to objectify it. But you see, our government has never done that, and neither has most of corporations. The bottom line has come before how you get it, and that's why our nation turned into a greedy,
very greedy.
You know, because I can remember the 30s very well, and people really had integrity, and their integrity came before the dollar bill. But somehow, after the Second War, we got rich and overindulgent. Oh, it's wonderful.
You'll like this. I call it we went from creativism to consumerism, and now we're going back from consumerism to creativism.
That's right. That's right. No. But it's all good. It's all good because it brings us, and this globalization I'm talking about is not just the globalization of the world. It's your own personal globalization. You are an infinite being. Sure, you've got a problem. You have a finite body and a finite sense of things, but you can comprehend infinity. So you feel like you're falling short of it. But if you open yourself to that infinity, you'll get a lot further than you would otherwise.
You know, now, what do you think we talked about with the war? What I'm wondering if that can be what out-created. In other words, if we are, like you're talking about, imbibing the spiritual principles of, you know, what bringing the subjective and making it more objective. You know, if we're living this more and more, will that have more? Does that potentially have more of an impact than those that are perhaps marching for peace and those kinds of things?
Well, I have a lot of faith in the younger generation. I mean, the young people that I know in the 20s and younger and all, they don't have the judgments. They don't judge whether somebody's gay or straight. They don't judge, you know. They let it go. And even in, I understand, in Israel, there's a big movement of young people then that don't like the aggressive attack tactics that have been used. And so I'm just a positive. I think we're evolving, and the younger are coming in with more refined state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. So if what I'm hearing you saying, it's happening anyway.
Yeah.
By the evolution of the consciousness, this is,
and if we
wake
up to it, we help speed it up.
Okay, so that's, We're speeding it up by awakening to it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. By recognizing we are it. You know, mm-hmm. We're not bodies. We have bodies. We are consciousness. And if we want to change the form, change the consciousness. And so if we can keep our own consciousness up above the confusion, then mm-hmm. that helps everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We do. You can sit in your living room and do a world's work. In other words,
yeah.
When you see something on television, you can correct it in your consciousness. And I have a good friend who wouldn't sit through a bad movie, and he also will only watch the news once a day because he doesn't want that repetition.
Over and over.
It's recession. And if we buy it, then we help create it.
Yeah, that's what I got in a space where I'm just not, things like that, I don't want, well, one thing, I don't believe it's true, so every time when I listen to that, I go, oh, God, these people are creating this reality, you know, and I don't particularly want to create that. I switch the channel.
Yeah. Well, you see,
because you're right, it's repetition over and over, you know, and even if you don't believe it in your life, because I'm also like you, I'm living very abundantly in many forms. Right now, you know, I have for a while, but there's even more enriched right now in different ways. So what I was finding when I was hearing that, I was starting to a little bit shrink in, like, oh, you know, like not wanting to expand as much because I was feeling bad that other people are going through this experience. So,
yeah. You know, another
I don't know.
Thing is that as long as we've got a body,
mm-hmm.
we've got further to go. I mean, even after the resurrection, Jesus said, touch me not, I've not yet ascended. Once he ascended, well, then he didn't need this body anymore. Our bodies and our human affairs, that's our school. That's how
mm-hmm.
we learn from. And we learn from our mistakes as much as our correction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, for instance, in the change of it, here now that I'm entering my 89th year, I have another challenge. And that is mm-hmm. the calendar, because the calendar says, you know, at 40 you need glasses, at 60 or something you can't make love anymore or something.
Right.
And if you believe that, you create that law for yourself. So now I have, there's a lot of conditioning that says this is the way you're supposed to be at 89. And I have to battle that. And fortunately right now I don't have an ache or a pain. But I have to really mentally, spiritually, and physically. I go to a trainer a couple of times a week, and I eat well. And so we have the responsibility of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes from the subjective, meaning mm-hmm. that the responsibility that God gave me this body. So it's my responsibility to take as good a care of it as I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's my tool. It's my automobile.
Yes, yes, and I know it's that tool, that vessel, that vehicle. What I'm hearing you say too, so it is very powerful. I know you said you make it your law. So you're saying, in a sense, if we're encoding or these things are getting drummed into us and we're, you know, believing it, then we're setting our own law in place.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. If one says, well, my government says, what they're really saying is, I've given my government that power.
Mm.
And I believe that. So that's the reality of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know there is no law operating in your life that's not higher consciousness, that's not divine, well, then a lot of things that happen to other people won't happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I don't rejoice, as I said, in my abundance and those things. I rejoice in having that consciousness that produces those things. In other words,
yeah.
I'm not happy about the things. I'm happy about the consciousness.
Mm. Ooh. Wait, everyone listen. This is really good. This is deep. It may not have sounded. Yeah. So if you're happy about the consciousness.
Yeah.
Wow.
It produces those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walter, that's huge.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think, people, you're going to have to, everyone's going to have to re-listen to this in the archive, because that's so huge. Because what's been happening with some of the, you know, tools that are out there is people have been celebrating the things.
Yeah, absolutely.
That the, yeah, that they think the consciousness got them, you know, yeah. Or the consciousness maybe did get them out, but not recognizing that it is the consciousness. And of course, if you're celebrating the consciousness that got whatever, you know, got what, then you're living in that state of abundance. You're living in the state of all that is, right? If you're celebrating the consciousness and not
right.
the thing.
And you're living in the now of it, not the future.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're not saying this is going to be in the future. It's now.
Mm. I'm writing this in the chat. You celebrate the consciousness. That's huge. I mean, I'm telling you, people, everybody that's listening, if you just do that in your life, you're going to experience.
Well, that's who we are, you know.
Yeah.
We are conscious.
Yeah.
And when we're in our better mode, we are divine consciousness. We are the higher consciousness. And if there's such a thing as God, it's higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we think God is the creator. Well, consciousness
mm-hmm.
is what creates. So
yeah.
consciousness is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're in a higher consciousness, you're in God.
Yeah. And what do you say? It's all God. The, you know, in your book, it's all God. The flowers, the fertilizer. You know,
yeah.
I love that. The trees, the bees. But that source, that consciousness, the all that is, that do you see that it had a one point? Do you feel that there's a source point from which everything expanded or extended out?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
And the word is almost corny. It's love.
Okay.
Love. Everything is love.
Yeah.
Chardin said, the only power capable of totalizing the world is love. Actually, love is omnipresent. That means everywhere. Love is omnipotent, the only power. Now, when we see darkness, it's not that darkness is a power. It's the absence of love. Love is the only real power, and where love is absent is when these dark things happen. So if we can bring love back and shine the light of love back on it, and love means don't judge it and don't fear it. And, there's a good word, fear. Mm. You know what fear
yeah.
is? A lack
what
of
is
self-love.
That?
If you fear,
wow.
you're not loving yourself. Fear says, oh, I don't have that within me that can take care of the slump in the stock market or the this or the that. So fear mm-hmm. is anti-love, anti-you, anti-love of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so look at anything you fear and then look at yourself and say, do I believe that I have that within me that's going to mm-hmm. put me anywhere, take everything away, and I will manifest whatever I need. That's loving
so
yourself.
When we're in fear, we're essentially saying that we can't do something or
yeah. Yeah.
manifest, that we don't have that within us or that capability.
That's right. That's right. And that's not loving ourselves. Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Cashflow Queen in the chat is saying right on. I had never heard that put that way, but definitely resonating. We've got a couple people... Walter, in the chat, Finland, Sylvia, that are saying hi to you and really enjoying what you're saying. Yes. So I want to, and we have a caller also, so I'm going to check in and see if it's caller list calling in to listen in or has a question. So let's see
okay.
here. Hi, 954-255, you're on Awakenings. Hello?
They gave up.
954-255. No, they're on the air, but maybe they're listening. So some people, which I love, this is one thing I love about the internet radio, is some people actually listen by phone.
Oh,
Walter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sometimes I'll even get emails saying, I'm this number or this you know, I'm going to be listening while I'm driving up north or driving wherever, or, you know, I can't listen on my computer I'm listening on by my computer at work, but I can't respond, you know. It's great. It's absolutely wonderful that everybody can connect in this converging flow, you know.
I think in this process of self-love, one has to realize they have never made a mistake. In other words, where they stubbed their toe, it taught them to watch out for that rock. In other words, it wasn't a mistake. It was a lesson. And we're better for the lessons we've learned, you know. Because anything that gets in the way of self-love is our enemy. The only enemy there is anything that makes us feel guilty. And you know, one of the main things is absolutes. Because at this third dimensional level, there are no absolutes. There's never a never or always an always. But absolutes are not bad if you don't believe in them. If you aim at them, you get better than you would. And then when you fall short of it, you can dust yourself off and say, well, I'll try again. And so they're good to aim at, but don't believe you'll ever achieve it or you feel guilty. Because none of us are as perfect as we'd like to be.
But those absolutes that we have, that either or this or that, you know, I find that also in the land of spirit or the soul, it's so embracive. It's usually, instead of, you know, this or that, it's always and. I want to do this and, because we're always expanding.
Yeah.
And right, those absolutes can be so limiting or.
Yeah. I always say not either or, but both and.
Oh, I like that. Not either or, both and. That's a good one. Maybe someone wants to put that in the chat. Not either or both and. Yeah, that's because then it leaves you open to those possibilities that you don't yet even know that are coming about, you know.
Yeah.
Now, Walter, for our listeners, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love for you to, what was your first awakening? How did you get conscious? Obviously, you've always been on a path, but how did you consciously come to?
Well, I was an officer in the Navy in the Second World War, and at the end of the war, I went to New York, and I was in terrible shape, taking things to pep me up and things to calm me down, and so forth. And I started out as an actor, and I got in a play of the top playwright at the time, John Van Druten, and I got the Juvenalina play of his. And in the process, he told me about, gave me some letters from Joel Goldsmith to read. And he said, with your Methodist background, you won't understand these, but you read them and I'll explain them. And there were letters saying, you're made in the image of God. The I within you is limitless and so forth. Well, I've never seen that before. And it's like bells went off in my head, you know? And so the next day I explained them to him. And he said, well, you better get in touch with him. So first made contact with Joel in 1945, and then.
So you hadn't seen any of this before, but yet when you read that, you had this.
Well,
resonance or awakening.
I always had a feeling that there was something, and when I was a senior in high school, I went to my minister and asked him whether I should be a minister or not, and I didn't know whether I just saw myself standing up there being dramatic and preaching great sermons. And he said, try not to be. So I have spent 89 years trying not to be. And then find myself behind pulpits a lot of times. And so I always had that instinct. And I always, until this breakthrough, every night I would say the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm, just sort of superstitiously, you know. So there was something always there, but I didn't come into a real awakening of what it was. And then, of course, as it grew, it pushed me out of the theater. Because when I produced the play, I Am a Camera, which was made into the musical Cabaret, and as I told you, this is part of my abundance. I still get royalties from Cabaret. And
you do?
Yes, I do, indeed.
Great. That's great.
This has had nothing. Well, it is kind of spiritual, and it shows how it works. It closed in New York, and then a year later, I got a big royalty check. And I thought, well, what's this from? And I found out It had been translated into Spanish and was the longest running musical in Mexico City that they'd ever had. And so for the last few years, I've been getting good royalties because it's playing in the Latin capitals. And it's off this little play that I did 55 years ago. And so anyway, it's just back to this thing. Trust the process and don't fear. Mm. Get rid of fear. And also, it may be bad to try to yank doors open, but it's worse not to see what's on the other side of the doors that do open. So when a door opens, trust yourself enough. You can look on the other side, and if you don't like it, you can say no. But you don't know what's going to be on the other side of that door. And so we should trust the process and trust ourselves enough to explore anything that doors that open in our lives. And I always did that. And that's what eventually led me out of the theater into writing and more spiritual things, because that really became my religion. And whatever your main work is usually your religion. And so religion became my religion.
Now, when you were in the theater and this, you know, the consciousness shift was happening, you know, with you, for you, did you find it difficult to be there? Was that one of the reasons for moving on, or was it more?
It was just that the last play I produced starred Tallulah Bankhead and Joan Blondell and so forth, and it wasn't a success. I took it across the country, and I didn't bring it into New York. And when I got back to New York and I went into Sardi's, where all the theater people go, I didn't care. And I thought, if you don't care, it's served its purpose. And I wanted now not to live in New York anymore. Not that I didn't love New York, and I was perfectly happy. I had an apartment in the fancy Des Artis, and I would go sit in the middle of the Central Park on the meadow there and meditate. And so I was perfectly happy, but I was ready to leave New York.
You know, I like something. What do you think of that, when you don't care anymore? That's a sign, isn't it?
I think so. I think so.
I know for me, if my attention is going elsewhere, maybe that hobby or that new interest is telling me something new is emerging through me, that a new direction is coming in.
You know, I had an example, if I got a minute. A friend of mine who was the top attorney for the Secretary of Agriculture in Washington, he was a Democrat, and when they lost the election, he lost his job. So he came back to San Antonio, and he said, he's a lawyer, a very good lawyer, and he said, I don't want to go to work for some corporation. I want to do something meaningful. And I said, all right, let's open ourselves with the realization that the doors will open and we'll check. He called a few days later, and he said, well, there's an announcement in the paper that they had to announce it, a new head lawyer for the Water District, which is terribly important in Texas. And he said, well, we all know who's going to have it. Someone retired from the board a year ago so they could take the job, but I'll go down. Well, the day he went down, it was announced in the paper you had to be off the board for 5 years. So he, of course, got the job with his credits. And now he's happy as a lark with 16 lawyers under him, and doing a very fine thing of, you know, protecting the water and doing all that stuff, and planning for.
Do you think it was an intention there that was set, that there was an intention, and that perhaps drew that situation?
Well, yes, I do believe in intention, but I don't think we should outline necessarily the exact form it's going to take. In other words, it's like I know I will manifest a supply. I don't have to say I know it's going to come from over here or from over there. It may come out of left field. But it is my intention for this to be healed, you know, or that. Because, I have a little trouble with my eyesight. And I have to realize that I don't see with my eyes. I see with my consciousness. And as long as I know I have the consciousness of sight, I'm not going to have any trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is that? A lot of people, that idea of the focusing so much on the form, it reminds me of what you were saying earlier, Walter, that, you know, celebrate the consciousness, you know, not necessarily, you know, what it brought you. You always celebrated the consciousness. So to me, when you're saying not to be so specific in the form, you're keeping your awareness back on the consciousness. Is that true?
Well, yes. Have your consciousness not on the result, but on cause.
Okay, not on the result then. Okay.
If you're caring about the thing, that's a result. That's not a cause.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that has been created has been caused. And so get to the cause. And even in taking pills or what the, I'm not saying medical science hasn't a valuable thing, but we have to look at, it's what's the consciousness even behind the pill? In other words, listen to your own consciousness. Doctors very often overdose everybody. So you have to use what you've been given to know, is this right for me? Or does this have the consciousness that created this pill? And that's what I'm taking, is that consciousness, and is this right for me? And listen, no laws, no rules, no man-made rules, only spiritual law.
So that conscious, how does one focus, you know, for our listeners that are listening, what is your suggestion of a way that people can focus more on the consciousness or the cause rather than the result, as you're saying?
Well, the number one thing is to quiet your mind down, you see. And one of the best ways to do that, every morning, I take what I call a psychic bath. In other words, I've taken on personal sense for the last 24 hours. So in the morning, I just drop it. In fact, I meditate and try to do that a bit before I go to sleep at night so I don't have it with me all night. But anyway, and I just like clean, drop all my personal sense, drop all the things I have to do and all that list, get down to listening, you know. Then after that, then it's gratitude. And it starts out being gratitude for physical things until I can lift it to being grateful for the consciousness that produced those things, and then forgiveness, which is releasing everything, and that brings me in personally to that place where I can now listen for this still small voice. And when you take your walks and all, that's what you're saying you do.
Yeah. Astrid in the chat is saying to you that she loves the idea of the psychic bath. I think that's important. Yeah. You know, these are small things, though, that I think that we do that this adds to our quality of life, Walter, what you're suggesting here. You know, this morning I was writing on my little the Twitter. This is a little short little kind of blog. And I had this realization. I don't know. I just sensed something in me, the way that I was walking, the way that I was looking around, that I had a little irritation. And I stopped, and I just in that moment, I just stopped, and what came to me was that small irritations are not enough you time. And then I stopped further and went and just breathed in within, and I just brought everything in. I breathed everything in that was around me, everything that's going on around me. And then I came to this incredible place of peace and calm and oneness, and that, you know, because I have quite a full, you know, a fulfilled schedule. I don't like to say I'm busy or hectic. I don't like those words. I have a fulfilled schedule. And I thought, there it is again, just like you with your psychic bath, Walter. It's just that it doesn't have to be the like you said earlier, the chronological time or the geological time or earth time.
Yeah.
I think we all, people have to get rid of that idea that it's going to take so long to connect in, you know, or still the mind. It with practice, with frequency, you can get there, you know, in a holy minute, you know.
And, you know, I wish there was a language of spirit rather than a language of thoughts. Because two people can say the same sentence, and one of them has an angry spirit and the other has a loving spirit. And so I wish there was something in my head that listen to the spirit all the time of what's being said, you know, so I could know what to reject and what not to reject.
Yeah. Like to hear beyond what that person is actually saying, but connect into their spirit. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what they're saying, but there is another voice that's hearing the spirit behind the word.
Mm-hmm.
Within the words, you know, and so forth. Well, you know.
So I wonder.
Pardon
go
me.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, well, I wonder what way people can tap into hearing what's behind, because there is a part of us that is hearing what's behind the words. There is a part that we are tapping into. Sometimes it doesn't get filtered, you know, to our little mind, our ego mind.
Uh-huh. No, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true, and therefore, we have a tendency to believe that everybody's just like us, and we're not. We're all at different stages. You can't have infinity minus anything. So there's infinite expressions. There are no two of anything that are exactly alike. We share certain things to a certain degree, but that's why in one of my books I write, no one else has ever read the book you're holding in your hand, because you're reading it through your own unique set of concepts and whatnot. And so everybody that reads a book of mine, it's a different book.
It's a different book.
Yeah.
What... books are like babies, and we birth them out, you know. What, can you tap a little bit into the gospel of relativity? That's,
well,
for our listeners, how you came to that.
Gosh, I don't even remember.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I know. You're such a prolific
writer. I have to reread my books every few years because I forget what's in them. And I say, I wrote that back then? I didn't know I knew that then, you know. And the other thing is, we go around and around, and it's not really a circle. It's a spiral. We seem to go over the same thing ever and ever, but it's always going a little higher, a little higher, a little higher. It doesn't do it just in one big jump. We have to keep going over.
Walter, what do you think right now, with everything that you've seen in your succession of awakenings and awareness, and I wouldn't say really living, you know, mystically on this, you know, contemporary path that we're, you know, that this life form is. What do you feel right now, what you're seeing in your travels, what do you see right now is what's most important for people really to get right now in this shift?
Well, that's why I'm talking about globalization. This of the interconnectedness of all of us.
Okay.
Of every nation, of every human being. And this is where my double thread comes in. I am both a unique individual and I am one with every single person in the world. And I have a compassion for everybody, because where everybody's struggling the best they can, nobody wants to be stupid and do bad things that are going to backfire on them, but they don't know any better. And so we're all in the process of learning. So it's just have as much compassion. Blame the act, but not the actor. You know?
I like that.
Blame
the act and not the actor.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
how do we get this into people's consciousness that is, or awareness, not even, you know, but their awareness?
Well, we get
that
a talk
you
show
are...
like you have.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
One way to do it.
Yeah. We talk about, yeah. Well, I'm wondering if the more that talk is out there, that more people will listen and more people might ponder this, you know?
Yeah. Like when I talked about my beginning, when I discovered was given those letters of Goldsmith, I had subconsciously known that, but it needed to see it in words from somebody else till I could recognize that I knew this. So there's only one teacher in the world, and that's the teacher inside of each one of us. And that teacher says, aha, yes, to this. And so you say, well, I believe this, because your inner teacher said, okay. And so A lot of times we have to listen to a program like this, and we get a little spark of something, and something in us says, aha. And so that's, you know, part of the process.
Something I love on your website, and actually let everybody know that's listening, we are speaking with modern mystic, author, entrepreneur, and just being of light, Walter Starkey. And you can connect in with Walter at walterstarkey.com, and that's walterstarkey.com for more information. But on his website, he has The Secret Revealed. The answer to everything is inside. I think that's so true, because what you're saying here, Walter, is that no matter what we read, we're going to interpret it any way that makes sense to us or the way that we understand it.
You know, there's one more thing that pops into my head that's different. You know, I used to, until the last year, when I gave seminars, I let as many people as wanted to come, and there might be 100, 150 people or something there at the seminar. Now I don't do that anymore. I limit it to no more, at most, like 20 people, because nowadays it has to be a group dynamic. In other words, not a speaker talking to a bunch of people. So, like, for instance, I'm giving a couple of seminars at the ranch this spring, and what I'll do is I will set the tone. I will start speak a little bit to open it up. Then we open it up to sharing. We've all heard, listen, do unto others as have them do unto you is enough truth to save the world. So we don't need more truth, but we need experience. And we, when two or more are gathered together in the right consciousness, the whole thing flies. And so I have found that when I have a small group like that, and we all participate, we create a group dynamic that is just fantastic and really lifts all of us. You know,
it's, so it's kind of smaller little pods, little group pods.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way. Ah, okay. See, that's close to my heart when you can kind of see out instead of seeing at a sea of people where you can connect in. And so you're saying you also have this dialogue then with people.
Usually on the first night, I'll go around the room and I'll have everybody say where they're from and where they're at and what they consider their virtue or fault. And by the time everybody's done that, bonding has already taken place because they've all opened themselves, their human and their spiritual nature. And the bonding begins. And sometimes after the second day, we have to take off a little bit. We get so high.
I love it. Now, we have a question in the chat room. Tammy is asking if you could, what is the ranch? If you could speak a little about that.
Well, 30 miles outside of San Antonio's Guadalupe River Ranch, or Tierra Sagrada, which means holy land. And it's at this moment, it is not open to the general public, but it is open to small retreats of up to 50 people. And there's a lot of meeting rooms, and there are wonderful paths to walk on. It's in the hill country on the Guadalupe River. So they've got a mile of the river. And there are horses, if one wants to, a horseback ride. And they can get a massage if they want one, and good food. And then we just meet in private for like 4 days, 3 nights.
Now, on your website, do you have anything about the ranch? If people, like some of your seminars, can people?
Yeah, it's all on the website.
Okay, good. Then we have another question in the chat, Walter, that Tammy is asking, you're talking about these small groups and meeting in the small groups, and she said, is this the way that we keep this global conscious going, is by meeting in these small groups, but being aware of the global aspect also?
Yeah, because, you know, the small group is really representative of the whole world. And so we have to start there. eventually we'd be able to probably meet in great numbers. But I just find that it I know what I'm trying to say. You mentioned it earlier, something that's terribly, terribly important to everybody, and everybody should be constantly aware of it. Today, like never before, we are all affected and tuned into the collective consciousness. And if we wake up in the morning and we feel, and we immediately think, well, what did I do, or why am I feeling this way? If you're sensitive, it may not be you at all. The collective consciousness is going through a lot of fear today, and a lot of anxiety, and so forth. And we're all connected with it. And so we've got to realize that and not personalize it in ourselves. So if you're depressed some morning, you just ask yourself, is this the collective consciousness I'm tuning into? It probably is.
Mm-hmm. Like you did with that movie. That was that you connected into that consciousness of that movie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
I'm putting this in the yeah, that's very important. I think people need to ask themselves, is this a collective unconsciousness that I'm tapping into or I'm feeling?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times, Walter, what happens is people feel that and then they right away think it's them, and they start collapsing in on themselves, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's so important. That's so important because we personalize it. You know?
Yes. And once you personalize it, then you're in it. You're in the soup.
You're seeing yourself as an effect rather than as a cause.
Ah, okay. So if we're tapping in and saying, is this the collective unconsciousness, and we're recognizing, yes, it is, then we can choose to move into that cause point or source point, right? The truth.
Right, right. And that's why we have to develop our own technique. Sometimes people have said, how do you pray? I say, which me are you talking about? I might be in a half a dozen different places in a day's time in myself, you know, not so much anymore as it used to be. So there's, out of trial and error over the years, there's something I would do at a different way at different levels. You know, at an extreme, I'd get back down on my old Methodist knees and say, God help me. But when I'm high, I just have to say, I am that I am, and bingo, there, you know, and it's everything in between. And so we just have to know ourselves to know what our vibration is and then how to get it back in line.
But you're saying that everyone is going to have different techniques or ways to do this. But the main way really is some form of meditation. But as you said earlier, the technique is going to be varied for people. It's not always, you know, whatever the way is to just connect back in.
Like I said, you know, to me it's meditation. But to some people, meditation is listening to music or walking in the woods. You know how when you walk alone in the woods and you feel the presence? That's what we're after, is to feel the presence.
Feel the presence, yeah. Oof, that's it.
Yeah.
Another great little wonderful jewel here is to feel the presence. That's, right, Walter, this is what lets you know that you're connected in to the truth of who you are, is if you feel that presence.
Well, you know, I can take it for a day or two without doing it, but if I haven't done it within 3 days, I'm climbing a wall. I think I live so much in the now, I think the end of the world has come.
Well, someone once said, what's the difference between the meditative state and you, you know, and the where, you know, or where you're practicing it? But are we really practicing meditation, or are we just, you know, tapping into ourselves, really?
Well, we're really tapping into ourselves. That's what it is. We call it meditation, but it's really not meditation. You know, there are a lot of different techniques that people call meditation. But meditation is an experience. It's not a technique. You know, and that is the experience of your true identity, your true self, the essence of your being. The initial.
The true identity, your true being. Well, we've definitely been tapping into that, Walter. I'm just really just so appreciative that you took the time out from your fulfilling, you know, earth schedule, really, to be with all of us and to share. And I know the listeners are very appreciative, and definitely in the chat room, there's just so much appreciation for you that you were able to take the time out and share with us. And
well, not
I just want to really thank you.
We're all one, and let's do it again, okay?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Standing invite. Absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely. Definitely do it again. Thank you so much, Walter, for being with us.
You're all blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. Much peace. Bye. Oh, that was wonderful. That was absolutely wonderful. So we were talking with Walter Starkey, who's not just a best-selling metaphysical author and a spiritual teacher, but really is a, as you heard, a tremendous light being. His books are amazing, too. Thanks, Sylvia. Sylvia's saying great show, company. Yeah, great company, everyone. Thank you so much to the listeners, the participants. I really appreciate all of you and your inside input and sharing that's been going on in the divine sacred space of empowerment, also known as the chat room on Awakenings. Yeah, it's really, we're all so blessed to be able to come together. And I really love, I don't know if people dialed into this or not, but what Walter was saying about to celebrate the consciousness, you know, and not necessarily the forms, you know, or absolutely the result. So if you're celebrating the consciousness, that's a big difference. That is huge, because your consciousness is going to manifest in different forms, some that your ego personality, you know, isn't aware of is actually abundant or abundance. So if you're always looking for a specific form to denote that you're in expanded consciousness, you know, that's why people that are seeking just, you know, straight physical form manifestation or financial form manifestation really are not coming from a higher vibrational frequency or higher, more expanded consciousness. So, but if you're aware that your consciousness has created the form, just by the awareness on that, you're already coming from an expanded place, because consciousness is the place of the all that is, right? It's the place of God, or, you know, however you want to put it. It's the life animating energy. It's light. It's source. And as Walter was saying, the cause, the causal point. So if you focus more on the cause and being the cause, being connected to the cause, because you are the cause, then you're in an empowered place, because you're connected to that power and presence. That's what empowerment is. When we think about, when we feel empowered, we're feeling, we're connected to that power and presence within. That's our empowerment. We're the embodiment of that empowerment. And that comes from that causal point or point of consciousness, but not the results. Yeah, not the results. And that's, you know, the biblical passage, you know, if we look at it metaphysically, which that's my background as a metaphysical, is that was not seek first the kingdom. It's within. It's what's talking about the consciousness. That's what heaven is. Heaven is the consciousness, expanded consciousness of the all that is. Very major. If you do these, there's a few things that Walter mentioned that if you do will totally, I can tell you, transform and shift your life. And I reiterated them. Revocalize him when he said them, because they're really, really important jewels, gems that we got today. Just like all of you, you all are gems, you know, and that's it. We have to realize that we are our own inner riches. We are that gem. We are the Messiah. We are the message. Each and every one of us has our own individual message. our individuated consciousness came here to sing a certain part of the song of the universe, that universe. We all have a verse to sing. And I'm glad that all of us are connecting here at Awakenings within this converging flow to sing our song and to share into this universe, universal consciousness. Again, our guest was Walter Starkey. You can connect with him at walterstarkey.com. And as always, always, shine your light and keep awake. It's so great to travel this path with all of you. I wish you all much peace, love, light, and radiant self-expression. You're simply here to be you, express you, and shine your light as you. Much peace. Have a great day. Shine your light and keep awake. A little happiness by DJ Petey from moontribe.org.